to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape has everything you could possibly want when it comes to John Deere. Go up and see them. They've got tractors, implements, you name it. They're full parts and service. If you've got a machine that needs to be worked on, they're the guys you want to talk to. They got a great staff out there in the service department that can fix anything. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can give them a call, 530-226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. Yeah, I like that.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
Won't
nice.
Forget that, will you?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nice, William. Call me Bill. So, all right. We're talking about the VA. We haven't done a show on VA for a while. And so for people who are interested in veterans issues, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us and you look along the top, one of the tabs is veterans. And so all the shows we do on this topic, I group under that so you don't have to scroll through, you know, 14 years of shows. You can just pop on there. And the shows we have done with the folks that are on with us today, Kristen Rule, Peter Rizzo, Ken Crandall, and Ben Krause. Any shows we've done with Kristen and Ken in the past are on there. And then this show, of course, will be posted commercial-free a little bit later today. It's September 10th, 2023. And we hope you will share this because it's really important when you hear that, you know, a lot of times when people hear, you know, Congress is holding hearings about the VA, everybody thinks like, oh, everybody at the VA is bad. You know, nobody cares. Nobody's working on it. Nothing's ever going to get fixed. And it's really important to know that there are people out there who do care, who know a lot about the system, and are willing to use their personal, you know, time, expertise, and treasure in a lot of cases. It costs them their job. It costs them a lot to do this. And it's mentally grueling when you're constantly in a system that's a big pain and you're working with people who are victimizing you constantly. I'm not sure. I'm cut out necessarily for that.
Well, isn't VA?
I'm the oldest of five children. We fought pretty hard. I'm not sure I can.
Doesn't VA have one of the largest budgets of any of the federal agencies?
I'm sure they're right below defense. Does anybody on here know that? I don't know that off the top.
Yep,
of my head.
They are. They also have the highest number of employees in the civilian side of government.
Oh, yeah, because when people say that all the time, I always kind of laugh. I'm like, well, we can't fix the Forest Service, and that's like 30,000 people, and the VA is like pushing 400,000 in cemetery benefits and medical, last time I checked. It's like, yeah.
Fairly large.
So, yeah, go ahead. Who's gonna go fix that, like one person? So one of our guests, Ben Krause, we left off with him at the end of the last hour, and he is the founder of DisabledVeterans.org. He leads Krause Law firm committed to staunchly representing veterans in legal matters nationwide. So an important voice, and he's also a journalist. Are you a journalist and then an attorney, then a lawyer, or a lawyer and then a journalist? How'd that go?
Well, so I started off as a journalist who became an attorney.
Okay.
And then now I spend most of my time representing veterans against the agency and doing investigations. But
and then writing really, really good articles about the bad things they do. So it's kind of
I don't have as much time as I used to, and it seems like the need is increased. You know, the bigger the budget is, the more the problems are. It seems, and so you know, I wish I had more time to cover it more frequently than I do. But it's So I was a journalist first, became an attorney second.
Okay, well, one of the just full disclosure, I'm on a kind of a five-way chat on text with all four of you while we're doing this. So we can kind of make plans as we go. And Kristen had suggested to emphasize that in the view system, they can see management emails as well as the other emails of people under our name. Maybe you could touch on that a little bit before we move into our
that just seems bizarre to me. I mean, I can't access my, you know, president's emails, you know, as an employee. I don't know how they can't fix that. That seems pretty simple.
Well, that would be a question for Peter or Kristen. I think they may know more about that than I do.
Kristen, since you were the big exposer, what'd you find?
Well, I think you know, when Peter showed me the things that were in there about me, one of the things that made me the most sad was when you search my name, other people's stuff comes up. And I had helped some people out in cases against the VA, like I represented them, some people when they lost their jobs, Ken, for example. So under my name, there's stuff with his name in it. So if somebody reads something about me, well, then they inadvertently see that, you know, Ken's involved. And the other interesting thing is then you can see, since it is their system of correspondence, you'll see, like, where I write to the secretary and literally beg for him to respond or help us or care. And then you see when they get it, what they do with it. So, I mean, I don't want everybody that works at the VA seeing what I wrote to them, seeing how they decided to handle my communications. I mean, you literally can see what I wrote to the IG, and then you see the IG talking about me. To me, that's such a violation. I didn't say a word about this. We're on month 15. I kept quiet. I tried to go through inner channels. I tried to handle this quietly because I knew if this was a public matter, people who had access to views were going to look me up, and then that's even worse. So I tried for all this time to get my things taken out of there, but every time I would have somebody check, the stuff would still be in there. So I was trying to be quiet and solve this internally, but today I'm here because I want people to know that if you write to the VA, as of now, there's a report that's going to come out that's going to verify that the system is not secure. So if you write to them a correspondence, it might be mark sensitive, it might not. If somebody looks at it, you might know or you might not. And to me, for someone who tries to handle problems and write things that are important, I'm afraid to write any more emails because I don't want everybody seeing everything that I write. Well, so I think I want them to do an external investigation, not the VAIT people investigate it. Right now, there's enough proof that there's a serious problem, and it's not just about me and Ken and everybody on this call. A lot of people's information are here that we've seen. There's things about people that I saw that told on me under my name that I didn't even know they told on me. So things like that is ridiculous. And, you know, then I think about the person, and I'm like, what the heck? I shouldn't know that, and nobody at the VA should be able to see any of that. And I'm here because, after all this time, nobody's fixing it in a meaningful manner. Like, I'm not satisfied that it is fixed. And at the rate we're going, I'm not satisfied it will ever be fixed the right way.
So, just, I mean, and this is a total opinion deal, but if we could do like a quick vote, do you guys think they're not fixing it because they can't? Well, I mean, okay, I'm using the word can't in a VA sort of way. Like, they just can't get their act together to fix it, or because somehow it suits their plans to basically out everybody and in an attempt, because if I was a bad guy, this would be a great way to silence people like you and to make other people, I mean, this is kind of like what the mob does, right? You go rub somebody out because it's like, oh, go ahead and talk, but, you know, it's not going to go well for you. Is it to silence people or is it just because they're incompetent?
Aaron, I have to err on the first example that you provided, or the first scenario. I don't think that, first of all, I don't think that they cared that they knew that there was a problem.
Oh,
we found that through the
that
report.
Option.
They knew, they knew it was a problem. They didn't care because no one had blown them in, number one. And number two, what they're finding now that we did blow them in, that they can't fix it, or at least Salesforce is telling them that they need to buy another component in order to fix this problem. So thank you, Salesforce, for helping secure this information like you should have from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think that would be part of the testing. Like, if you're a developer, you think, well, now, hey, it's kind of like cars, you know. Hey, they're going to be big and they're going to go fast. What if they get in a crash? Should we make plans for that, or should we just assume everybody stays on the road? I mean, how silly.
Well, then, right. And you look at the Ralph Nader situation with the, I don't remember what kind of car it was, completely unsafe, shouldn't be on the road.
Oh, yeah, Ralph Nader.
Everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
They knew and did it anyways. But one of my favorite examples that I came across in Views was a letter from Congressman Rob Woodall to VA after this congressman was contacted by two sisters, from who worked at the same VA facility. And the letter basically says that so-and-so is from Loganville, Georgia, have contacted me concerning an issue at the Department of Veterans Affairs. I've attached information which was provided to me by these individuals. According to so-and-so, this is their official congressional complaint. Our office received the enclosed information from this person as a whistleblower. They would like anonymity. Now, their name is throughout this letter. The attachments that the member provided were included in the Views case file. And the subject line of the Views case was used their names.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
Referenced that it's a whistleblower complaint.
Yeah, you could never search that by, you know, if their name's in the attachment.
I found it by searching the word whistleblower. Holy cow.
Oh, you're kidding. That's terrific protection.
It's incredible. Yeah. So that's the type of lax controls that we have on this system, and why Kristen is so passionate about folks being mindful that correspondence, first of all, every single member of Congress needs to stop requiring constituents to fill out a form with their Social Security numbers, dates of birth, home address, etc. If in order for them to contact VA, they can still contact VA on behalf of the constituent using the constituent's name. If VA needs more information, they will ask for it. But don't give it to them just to give it to them.
They tell them that they tell them that they have to have it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's why Congress has to put an end to it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, Aaron.
No, but I mean, just so people know, because I'm thinking about all the people who filled the form out. They're sitting out there going, oh, my God, I filled the form out.
Yeah.
That's because that's what they're told.
But Peter saw that form about me. Like, Peter could have stole my identity
sure.
in 3 minutes because he had everything down to my signature. And he just said, like, oh, my gosh, is this your stuff? And I was like, holy crap. And I wrote a lot of letters, and I went to a lot of Congress people. So then it bothers me that I don't know how many people took a picture of that paper or any of the other
Well,
papers.
And that's all supposedly sent through an encrypted system to the congressional liaisons who are supposed to do the research and get back to them on the case that's been filed. That's all supposed to be like some top secret thing because
but they just send the attachment on, and that's
no. The congressional offices use an encrypted email address to the liaison, and if
right.
you try to contact them without that information, they won't talk to you. They will go back through that system and require you to use it. So the idea that members of Congress think that they are sending their constituents information through an encrypted system,
mm-hmm.
and it comes back. You have to have a password to open it when the response comes back, which leads everybody to believe that that's, like, on the up and up.
Secure.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, why would you not think
it's
that?
Anything but.
Another funny example, but serious example, is Peter and I originally we first tried to handle this, like you said, internally with the chief staff's office and anybody that we could get to listen and possibly realize it's a serious problem and help, like, or begin to fix it. So at one point, we had to go to the House Committee of Veterans Affairs. Early on, you know, we reached out to them for some help. Well, they were going to have a meeting with VA, and they said, we'll call you later once we tell you what time the meeting is. Well, Peter sees in Views what time the meeting is. So when they call us, tell us what time our meeting is, Peter, you could tell him how it went. Peter said, we already know. It's, you know, whatever. This time PM because we saw it in Views. So it's just an example of it. It's not just about us.
Yeah. Well, the idea that in this day and age with all the identity theft, I mean, that just ruins people. So, I mean, it's just so many things on this front. You know, you've got the... If somebody comes forward and wants to do the right thing, they're completely disincentivized for doing that. They were before, even before this was even discovered, because always when people come forward and try to be a whistleblower, it turns into a big thing, which it isn't supposed to. Make all these rules about it and everything. Good Lord.
Yeah, the whistleblower protection doesn't always work out.
No. So what do you guys...
That's what I wrote to them were in there, the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection. Peter found emails that I wrote to them in there as well.
Wow. So much for that. I don't know. It's interesting. It's hard to say. It's hard to say how this ever turns the corner, because everything with those guys takes a million years to make change. And you know, this is another one of those cases where it shouldn't be hard to explain this, but you've gotten kind of no traction out there with the folks who have the ability to fix it, right? On the committee, or are they pretty sensitive to it? I know Grassley has been listening, but...
Senator Grassley has hands down been the most staunch supporter of our efforts, and we're grateful for that. We truly are.
Yeah.
One of the problems that I realized early on was the Office of General Counsel itself is not particularly competent, because, for example, they fired 5,000 people based on a new law that was really directed at the senior executive service people, and the chief counsel apparently advised the secretary, whoever, back in 2017 or 2018, they fired 5,000 people without due process. Now they're just having to pay those people apparently $100 million in back pay because of bad advice from the OGC. Chris and I talked about it at the time, and we said, well, they're not giving these people due process, and number one, no due process. Number two, that law was not created to attack the average worker. It was to go after the SESers. So OGC itself is not very competent.
Yeah, and people think, well, I'm just going to, you know, I hear just citizens say, well, I'm going to contact the inspector general. Like, that's like, you know, going to solve everything. And I think what they don't realize is, a lot of that goes back to the agency, and then the agency just figures out a way to kind of cover it, bury it, or cover it and bury it, maybe probably both. We have to take a really quick break.
Hold on to your hat, Aaron.
Okay.
Because we did that.
Hold that thought, and let's do it when we come back, since I was not paying attention. We were being charity. So I did find a fun song, kind of, you know, I was thinking if the VA, like, became a musical, maybe. We'll be back with our whistleblower guest. You're listening to We the People at
WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Blame, you're about to get it, I'm about to take it. Yeah, we're going down in flames. What can we do when we're only human? Everybody makes mistakes. There's more than enough to go around. Blame, who said it first and who did it hurt? What the hell does it change?
There's one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys. You gotta draw a hard line.
When the gunsmoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Since we're out here in rural America, I guess you should see how we roll. It's all whiskey for my men and beer for my horses out here. You should come and visit. It'd be fun. All right. So should we move to our friend Tanya before we run out of time? Who would like the auspicious honor to do that? I think, Ben, you got nominated on the texting link that you're...
What?
You're gonna pull the ripcord on Tanya?
Oh man, you guys got me! Holy cow!
Oh, right. You weren't paying attention, were you there?
Apparently not. I was okay. I was researching something else, so that is true. I was all the, you know, beer for your horses thing. I was like, okay. Anyway, so so let's talk about Tanya. So. Here's my take as a disabled veteran. So I'm not just an attorney, journalist, blah, blah, blah. I'm a disabled vet. My stuff is in VA's systems, too. And so I have skin in the game, just like Ken Crandall. and just like apparently every whistleblower that ever blew the whistle. and, you know, let's not also forget about every member of Congress that may be culpable in the sense that they were telling telling whistleblowers and veterans complaining, which I think we should also be classified as whistleblowers, but we're not, that our communications to them were confidential. Of course, now we know that they're not, and they go into this view system. And so if anybody does want to look them up, or at least this was the case of less than half a year ago, apparently it was pretty easy to go look up and snoop on a veteran if they happen to be part of a disruptive behavior committee or some other kind of thing. And now we know with Mr. Crandall's, you know, unfortunate situation, we know that they apparently keep this as a searchable database, which in my mind harkens to what we've been seeing a lot of in the press with respect to the FBI and other three-letter agencies and their 702 database that they jump into and dig around about Americans if they happen to see fit to do so, where we know that in Congress, that apparently Congress has highlighted problems at the FBI and lack of accountability, where many apparently many FBI agents and their contractors in law enforcement were, you know, snooping on Americans and shouldn't have been. And
right.
In many instances of tens of thousands of unlawful searches, but maybe they don't have a log file either. Wouldn't that be kind of an interesting coincidence? So, you know, I've always wondered about the interfacing of all these agencies because they've been developing this, you know, monstrous fusion system that just, you know, sucks in your data of all kinds and whatever they want to find. If it's a funny tweet that you sent out 10 years ago, and now you want to, you know, become a VA accredited attorney, well, maybe that'll hold you up. You know, maybe 10 years ago you said something mean and you hurt somebody's feelings. You know, you called them Dirty D or something like that. You know, I don't know anyone that would do that.
Wait,
but,
what if her name was Rubens? Would she still be Dirty D?
I don't know.
That might have happened.
I've heard that happened. I don't know.
We might have had that on the radio. My God, that sounds so familiar.
It could have occurred. And so, anyway, so enter Tanya Bretcher. Tanya Bretcher is a 20-year Army veteran. She was trained in the DINFOS, which is the Department of Defense and Pentagon and Army's training for people that get involved with propaganda, public relations, a variety of different things. And then there's different ways that that's carved out. But we know that for a long time she was trained in that, started off enlisted, then became an officer, I believe. And we don't really pick up on her, at least when you do searches using different tools, making comments about a lot of different things, where she then went on to work for, while in the Army, Department of Defense, and it was the Detainee Affairs. So the Office of Detainee Affairs, when you guys may remember, there were detainees allegedly being abused. And at Gitmo, and she was one of the individuals who was the public mouthpiece of the DOD whenever these abuses were coming up with the ACLU and whatever. So she was the public face of this. And so she is a skilled public relations or propagandist, whatever you want to call it, for the federal government and for our military, then went on to the to work for the National Security Council at the White House and then worked at the White House underneath the Obama administration with current Secretary Dennis McDonough. Then he was the chief of staff at the NSC that then ran the White House's chief of staff. So she's, you know, kind of mirrored him at least a little bit. She came on board in the when Biden started. She was a consultant and then became a the chief of staff. And so what's interesting about her elevation is that she really doesn't have any appreciable management skills that I'm aware of prior to a brief stint in a representative's office back before Biden won, and then at the VA when they put her in as chief of staff. And so since that point, she's been running the show. She's responsible for views, which is the system we've been talking about. And she's responsible for the correspondence between the secretary's office and pretty much everybody else outside of that. And so now she's been selected because of her bang-up job on views and everything else, Cerner, apparently, we're going to have her fix everything, and she's going to be the new DepSec of the VA.
What could go wrong?
Because she's done such a great job.
Yeah.
So now her vote will be tomorrow, or it'll start, they'll kick off the cloture tomorrow to then vote on her on the floor of the Senate, just like they did for Josh Jacobs. And, of course, keep in mind with him, immediately after he was selected and Schumer said he was a great fit, and look at how great a job he did on the PACT Act, now we find out, oh, there's all these backlogs, and, oh, there's all these other system problems where veterans aren't getting paid their benefits for years because of these IT fixes, you know, these billions of dollars in IT fixes, and magically veterans just can't seem to get their benefits on time. Now Ms. Bratcher is going to be responsible for fixing all of that with no appreciable management or leadership experience leading an organization. I have found no example anywhere where she has led as the chief operating officer any organization of any size, much less one that is the second largest organization in the federal government with the most employees of any federal agency and a budget of over $200 billion. So she's going to be the COO for that and can't fix views. What should be a small issue, over 18 months, they've known about it since 2019, which means that she's known about it since she started in 2021 because she's responsible for correspondence. Then the whistleblowers brought up the issue last year. They've slow walked it until her, you know, they're hoping her nomination gets through because they want her to be the first female DepSec, and it's historic.
Oh,
and,
of course,
yes,
that's
historic
so
for a lot
important.
Of reasons. She's going to be one of the first DepSecs to ever get to that position with no appreciable experience. Very historic indeed. they can't find anyone else who might have better, you know, more experience leading anything. I mean, bring in a female general with a 4-star or something like that, you know, if that's really all you're after. Bring in somebody that led something as a leader, you know. And we look at her experience as VA chief of staff. You know, Donald Remy, who was the DepSec, confirmed DepSec before her, quietly stepped down in April after totally debauched Cerner problem. And they just couldn't get in front of it. And, the only thing I can think of that Bratcher's going to bring to the table is apparently more propaganda and spin. And that's what we're going to get. She's got no MBA. I just don't see it. I don't understand her expertise aside from spin. So, you know, we'll see a lot of spin about a lot of scandals.
Has Grassley had his shot at exposing her lack of performance?
Well, so, yes. So he had first voiced his concerns pretty early because she was involved. This is right when she was actually nominated because he had already objected to Joshua Jacobs' nomination and held that up because she was involved with that because her, you know, we found emails that had been released through a FOIA with her name on it going back to 2021. So, and those were most likely in views. And so we have seen Senator Grassley tracking this. And when she was selected, you know, he objected pretty early on to make sure that, you know, we understood the scope of her involvement in the other whistleblower scandals, which we never got to the bottom of. And now it's this issue. And he's been all over it. But as we understand it, the majority in the Senate, at least the Veterans Affairs Committee, are apparently willing to turn a blind eye to her malfeasance. And again, she's the leader. She sat up there and essentially told Senator Tester and everybody else that the buck's going to stop with her and she's going to be a great leader. But then you turn to the views thing and it's like, oh, it's somebody else's fault. Not my fault. I kicked it over to the IT to investigate, you know, and it's the IT's own system, right? So I'm sure they're going to find a big nothing burger. What's amazing, though, about the IT report is that they still found some stuff, but man, did they ever spin. I've never seen a longer introduction to a document ever. I mean, 7 pages to introduce a 20-page report and, you know, to completely obfuscate, like, what was found.
Yeah, so they had this 7-page introduction but glossed over any of the bad stuff that was actually in the report.
Well, when I started dealing with the Inspector General stuff, I remember the first thing I was told is, hey, look, don't hold out too much hope on all this, because all these investigative reports come out and they say at the end that they need more training and more money and maybe more supervision. And I was like, oh, my God, that can't be true. I mean, they came from private industry. I'm thinking that's mental. That can't be real. So I subscribed. I had a like a Google, you know, I had a Google hit that would pull every VA Inspector General report. Just, oh, I think I did it for like 2 years. And every time one came out, I just like zoomed to the end. I didn't even look at the topic. I zoomed to the end. And they all said the same thing. And I'm like, you know what? We're not great at like the accountability, and you do bad things and you pay for that. It just seems to get buried. I guess I have a question too that I guess Kristen and Peter have been working with Chuck Grassley, Senator Grassley, for like months, which is good. I mean, he's obviously listening, but it's one guy, right?
Right. And, you know, this is Peter Rizzo talking.
Hello,
Senator
Peter
Grassley's
Rizzo.
Office has been really great for Kristen and I. Respectful, responsive, and on top of this issue. And Senator Grassley put a hold on Ms. Bratcher's nomination, and then was subsequently joined by six or seven other senators in that regard. So there's a reason that her nomination hearing was held months ago, and the Senate has not yet voted. Finally, Senator Schumer has required the vote to happen on Monday at 5:30, I believe it is. But Senator Grassley, throughout his career, has been a staunch supporter of whistleblowers. He's changed laws to be more favorable to whistleblowers, and to know that we have his ear and that other senators are listening to him and sharing in his concerns is great, but he's on one side of the aisle.
Exactly.
This is not a partisan issue.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't, and that's what's so scary about it. It is a partisan issue because of, you know, this is the nature of our politics, but it absolutely should not be. And so listeners who, you know, are actually listening to this live, please consider contacting your senators and demanding that they vote no on her nomination come Monday.
Because this is going to go on 9/11, right?
Right.
Yeah. And the note that that I got from you here, that VA just fired its executive secretariat over the Views issue, but they blamed that person for Brashear's failures. So
correct.
They're kind
and
of setting up a plausible out for her.
That's right. We have gotten through our channels internally at VA that this person was also quietly dismissed, but it was for reasons related to Views. And so instead of Ms. Bratcher taking responsibility, the buck stops with her. No, actually, she just points her finger and makes other people disappear. And so that's not going to change the culture of VA. The tone at the top
nope.
will stay what it is.
And that's why it stays that way. And you know what? I know you guys are going to find this shocking. I found a song for that, too. Huh. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Found a couple of them, actually. So we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our friends, the whistleblowers. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at
wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm going to do bad things, do it like it's nothing. It's never felt so good. I'm gonna do bad things. You won't see it coming. Watch your step. I've been thinking of doing bad things to you.
that was the second most favorite song for the hearing. But Thinking Bad Things was probably the best.
Nice.
You know, we take our problems seriously around here, but honestly, without a little bit of fun, everybody's head just explodes and nothing gets done. So we've got like 15 minutes, and someone suggested here on the chat here that maybe we should talk about some positive outcomes. I know, Robertson, you're laughing. Who would like to tackle that? Oh, Peter. Peter is the first responder.
So,
Peter, you have drawn the short straw. You can bring the positive income.
Hey, there you go. I think, you know, positive outcomes are, number one, that the views situation, the security vulnerability that exists within VA is now at least known to Congress, and now that we're on this show, to the public. And I guess the second positive outcome would be that VA might fix the problem. Maybe.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
they'll try.
I'm like, probably got a song for that too. I don't know. You have to. I mean, what do you guys think? You've worked there. Some of you still work there. Some of you don't work there. What do you think it's going to take to move the needle on stuff like this, or does it just go on and on and on and on and just morph into something else? Because it seems like everything I've ever dealt with them, and I have never worked in VA, but I've worked on a lot of VA stuff, and it seems like they just sort of they're really good at sort of taking it off the front burner and then, like, moving it to the back burner. You know, so it doesn't seem like it's boiling over, but it's secretly happening in the background. What do you think?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. I think really the only way for things to change would be for the Senate not to vote Ms. Bradshaw in as Deputy Secretary. What kind of a message would that send? It would send a message that folks are not going to get away with this nonsense, and that they may or will be held accountable. Short of that happening, there are no consequences, because nobody ever seems in leadership at VA to take ownership of the problems that they have created or that they are responsible for. And many times it's the wrong people who are blamed. There are scapegoats created to protect the elite, and that's the most unfortunate thing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the people at the top who are responsible for the underlings pass the buck down, and they're never accountable. They pick somebody else out that, you know, oh, I put them in charge. Well, they are still responsible. They're at the top. They need to know what's going on, and they do know what's going on, and they're not doing anything about it. And it's kind of shocking to me that they can pass the buck downstream and nobody says anything about it. That seems a little odd.
You think it's just because, I mean, a huge percentage of it is people don't know. But what about folks inside the VA? We haven't actually asked you guys that. What about people who work inside the VA? When this came out, I'm kind of guessing that if you worked in the VA, people got kind of curious about their own information being made available.
Scared, right?
Yeah,
well, it didn't get out too far. I mean, it was just a couple of people going to Ms. Bradshaw's office, going to the Office of Special Counsel. We also, as I mentioned earlier, went to the Inspector General. And that was the most interesting episode of this entire saga, because they weren't terribly concerned. They knew it was a problem, because the Inspector General doesn't use views for that reason, because they know it's not secure. So that should send up a red flag. But second, they were most curious in interviewing me for 2 hours or whatever it was, about knowing who I told about views and its security vulnerabilities. And by that time, I had also spoken to Jackie Garrick of Whistleblowers of America. And she was on your show on July 17th last year, 2022, talking about views.
Yes.
And so she mentioned the vulnerabilities of that system. She talked about it, and I was able to say to them, well, actually, it was broadcast on a radio show recently.
We're always, we're always good for that. You need to get it out there and then, you know, burn them a little bit. Yeah, we're good for that. But it, but so what happened?
That,
what happened as a result
of
that?
Zero consequence. I never heard from the Inspector General again. There was no follow-up, and my colleagues heard nothing of it after that either. So I assume it's dead.
Mm. Wow.
Part of the issue...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, part of the issue with the VA Inspector General is that they use the value, whatever they can recover from a case, that value is what they use to determine whether or not to apply 2-3-1 investigator to the case or even bother touching it at all.
Oh.
Because if they cannot recoup multiple times the amount of money spent in personnel hours on an investigation or an audit, et cetera, they are very unlikely, unless a member of Congress directs them or asks them to do it, or maybe the secretary directs them, they're very unlikely to pursue it. I've had cases where I found, you know, upwards of $3.5 million in fraud likely occurred when I was an employee there. I'm a certified fraud examiner and certified auditor. I reported it to the Inspector General in one particular instance, and they kicked it back to me. They said, we're not really interested.
Yeah, what's the rate of return on that?
That part is really crazy. So, and it's interesting because that is what I was going to ask you. Is structurally, I think it's because I've told people this before. I mean, they've got a really minor amount of staff in the inspector, and I think it's kind of important to point out for folks who don't deal with this stuff a lot. Every department has an inspector general. It isn't just one inspector general for the whole entire government. They work, so you have the VA Inspector General, but when you have 400,000 employees and a massive, massive budget, and then you look at, you know, I forget, the number was really, really low in the Inspector General's office. Do you happen to know it off the top of your head?
Well, I know that they receive upwards of 40,000 complaints a year from employees and veterans.
Right.
And they have, they investigate 2,000 maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Year.
Wow.
So 40,000 down to 2,000. So they're very selective.
Yeah, and they don't have the huge staff. So when you just kind of roll the numbers on that, it's like, okay, they're kind of outgunned a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not to give them an out, but all of that goes back into the hopper. And you look at who's doing the investigating. Oops.
Well, and then,
you hamstring the investigators. Kind of unlikely you'll get investigated.
When there's never any consequence when this stuff is brought up, nobody is punished. Nobody is really made to answer for anything. How is that going to help facilitate any change? They know nothing will be done about it. I think that's
well. Here, I just pulled up the VA OIG website here, and it says reports and recommendations published within the last 12 months, 137 reports, 674 recommendations. Based on the reading I've done, they all say they need more money, more training, and more supervision, and $325 million. How does that track with what you have seen, Peter?
It's about par for the course, but that's just it. They're tracking the amount of money they've recovered.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? In the case of views, they're not going to get any money.
That's right. So nobody's going to look at it.
They're protecting. Yeah, they're protecting veterans. You're protecting whistleblowers. So that's not sexy to them because there's no financial recovery. You're actually preventing someone else from falling victim to a financial crime.
Yeah, that's wildly screwed up.
In the cards for them. Yeah.
Wildly screwed up. Huh. And I think that's something that flies under the radar on deals like this, because they think, oh, there's something bad going on. Somebody's going to run in there and investigate it. Could somebody outside of the Inspector General's office look at that? I mean, I realize they haven't had the best track record lately, but are these things like FBI doesn't work on this? Like, does anybody else work on this stuff?
Absolutely. Of course, the name slipping my mind, they're a legislative GAO, my favorite auditing.
The Government
Enterprise.
Accountability Office? Oh, yes. Them.
Yes, absolutely.
What a
and
great
guess
idea
who can direct them to do things? Congress. If any member of Congress said, hey, GAO, please investigate views, guess what? They would do it. They're obligated to.
So after working with the senator all this time, has he gone to them about that?
I don't believe yet. And part of the reason is that GAO is so thorough in its reports and so careful to ensure that it does not publish anything that is premature, that the time frame needed to get something from them would be far longer than what we need for Monday's vote, for example.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so they can't turn it around in time to make the investigative information meaningful.
Correct.
That's terrific. We're like kind of all bad news today, aren't we, a little bit? Is there anything I realize I'm... Hey, in 3 minutes, is there anything we've missed? Everybody on the line? Lightning round?
I don't have anything more to add, but
I think you should. Yeah. I think you should.
Ken, anything?
I would like my stuff removed from Jews because I'm a veteran.
We'll get on that.
I'm sure they've got my health care information in there.
That's Ken Crandall, Crandall. Take his stuff out right now.
Right.
Well, I mean, but if you're talking about Tanya Bradshaw, I mean, she said that it's not in there, so don't worry about it. You're good.
Oh, that's right. So don't search Kristen Rule either, because there's nothing for her in there. There's nothing to see here. Move along.
No. Nothing to see there. Nope. Look up exactly her name, but if you look at other stuff, you know, it may pop up, but who knows?
Well, the report says that there are still vulnerabilities and things are not protected. So she testified to Congress in writing saying that things were protected, and yet the report that came out a couple weeks later completely contradicted that testimony.
Wow. Yeah. That's that seems, you know, unfortunately kind of par for the course. And as far as okay, so you're out there, you're a veteran, and you're thinking, I got a problem with my whatever claim, my medical care, my information. They might want to press on, say, AmVets, VFW, American Legion, some of those groups. Mm-hmm. Where do they fall in all this?
Exactly. And VSOs, Veteran Service Organizations, really, this is an opportunity for them to shine. They are organized. They can really hold people's feet to the fire. They're constantly in communication with VA and certainly engaged with the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. But there's nothing preventing them from contacting every senator and demanding better.
Well, they have offices all over the whole country in every state, so
right.
That
mm-hmm.
Should pretty much run the gamut, huh?
So yeah.
If anybody has any questions or any of that stuff, please get a hold of us on through the website. All our information's there, the email and all that, and we'll get you what you need, because I'm not going to publish. Well, shoot, I don't have to publish all you guys' information. Hell, all we have to do is find somebody at the VA to look you up.
Nice.
Find everything out. I'm silly. Why would I put it on our
right.
website? But no, we want to make that available. So when this hearing is happening on Monday, September the 11th, 2023. So if you're hearing this after that, don't blow your senator's phone up necessarily. Any chance this gets delayed? Anybody?
Uh-oh. I sure hope so.
Oh, darn it. I hear the music.
I'm not sure.
Dang, it's the music already. Sorry, Liam. All right, you guys, thanks a million. We will talk to you again soon. You're listening to We the People. You can find this show at wethepeopleradio.us.